Welcome to the Certified Skills in AI and Tech podcast, brought to you by Criterion. Criterion is a global leader in assessment solutions, providing software for test development and delivery, as well as test development services for low to high stakes certification programs.
Awesome. Paul, welcome to our podcast. It's great to have you all the way from the UK.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. And we have our Chief Revenue Officer here at Criterion, Buzz Walker.
Good to meet you, Paul.
You too, Buzz.
Paul, we'd love to hear a little bit about yourself. We know you were previously the Vice President at Opera, and you had a great career. We'd love to hear a little bit about your background and what brought you to the AI space.
Yeah, no worries. So for me, I think lots of people are coming into the AI space now, and my background is quite a coloured one. Started off in retail, moved into the financial services industry, and kind of always wanted to find my feet. What's my career? What am I going to do? And then I ended up at a role at Opera, and Opera is a really great organisation in terms of its diversity. And actually, it's not just a web browser. That's a really cool part about it. So I was exposed to a number of different things, and that's kind of really enhanced and created a really broad skill set that I now carry forward. So I'm very appreciative of that. And really now for me, it's around understanding, the place for AI, predominantly in, the workplace, and how we can have this sort of like augmentation of human interaction with that sort of safeguard in place, and then also the benefits of AI, and I think I've got some very strong views on what I think will happen, but now really what I'm looking to do is kind of spearhead that in a number of new projects that I'm just about to start. So it's super exciting, and I think AI is used quite a lot as a buzzword, but I think it's really good to talk about it now, and especially for organisations and businesses to become prepared, right? And how it's really going to impact their business in a very material way.
Well, we'd love to hear your strong views. I mean, that's, someone has strong views.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to hear that, especially about AI, because there's a lot of confusion and everyone's looking for some clarity.
Oh, definitely. And I think the really cool thing is, and I see this as a positive, is that there is no single point of truth right now, because, my own views, everybody has their own, right? And I think it's around, finding enough of those views to create a structured sort of best practice for organizations. And this is going to take time. But for me, I see lots of people going, oh, prompts, we can do all these prompts. And right now, prompts are great. And this is like us exploring as humans. We're trying to figure this out. And there's lots of people making money off things that really they shouldn't be making money from, because as AI progresses at the rate that it's doing with the language models that are coming out from the likes of Google, I think what we'll see is the ability for anybody, no matter their skill set or whatnot, to be able to utilize AI in a way that is hugely beneficial for them, as opposed to having to use very specific unique prompts. And that comes with lots of, scary prospects, but it also comes with some very exciting prospects. And, for me, I look at that and what does that mean for organizations? And I think, people are very concerned about jobs. And I don't think that, I think there will be some job losses. It's natural that this sort of thing happens, but I think there'll also be, job creation. And maybe the companies of the future will be, somebody, for example, that was maybe a CFO in an old life could be the CFO, the CMO, and basically utilize AI to fulfill that role, because you're not going to need to have the same granular level of skill sets in terms of job roles in the future, because you'll have this augmentation between the human interaction and the role and their responsibility and how AI complements them. In terms of delivering what they need to within the specified organization. So I think that's what's really, really exciting. But that will then spin off way more opportunity in many more other companies. So I'm really excited for the future. I think it's looking very positive, and it's very hard to see through it sometimes, right?
Yeah, definitely. What does that process look like when you're taking a human team that's been doing certain tasks, you know, in a very, I guess, manual fashion, and then you start introducing AI? How do you sort of make that transition happen between the human element to automating and then these people now having to refigure out their jobs?
Yeah, I think that's one of, you know, that is a challenge, but it's also, you know, I always look at this in a very positive light. There's so many jobs that we've either done in the past or occur right now that involve so many tasks that can be automated. And when you think about that from a cost and time saving perspective, that opens up a world of new possibilities. And there's so many people, there is millions of people globally in roles right now where it's so manual that that automation can free them up to be a bit more creative, to actually think outside of that manual process that effectively creates blinkers for people. So they just follow this one linear track because that job is doing this specific task. And if I suppose the reality is that they're kind of like robots in many respects, in the nicest way possible. But I think what AI will do is all of those people have some great ideas. And in an old role that I had, we performed a task where we looked at people's job roles, what they were doing, the tasks that they were doing. And it turned out that there was a huge amount of, you know, duplication of effort and work that occurred. And it's a huge cost. And actually, those people that were doing that contributed massively to, you know, ideas, how the business could become more lean. Because when it's top heavy, you know, you do lose some efficiency. And actually, AI automation of those manual tasks can free up so much more creativity for those sort of people. So I think it's going to be really, really exciting to see what people come up with, because these are the guys that are going to have all the great ideas.
Buzz, would love for you to chime in here. I know you're thinking a lot about AI, you're a senior leader, and you're also in the training space. You know, what do you think about all of this?
Well, a lot of things the thing that I'm constantly thinking about is how to engage with the workforce and how to get them ready for the jobs that will be available, the jobs that are available now. How do we upskill? How do we reskill them? What kind of things can they be doing to really prepare for this, the opportunities that are out there that are going to be different than what they are right now? I agree with the premise that some jobs will be lost, yet in most situations like this, there tends to be more jobs created than lost. They're just different than what they used to be. And beyond what the example you gave of, say, maybe a senior executive might have three teams instead of one. Yet at the same time, there's other people, whether you're administrator, whether you're in legal, accounting, manufacturing, development, marketing, those jobs are all, I believe, going to dramatically change. Have you looked at that at all? Have you given any thought to the kind of upskilling, reskilling that might be required of not only people creating the technology, but really people then that need to use and implement it for it to be able to be consumed by all the different organizations that are out there?
I think there's many, I mean, I thought about it a lot. There's many different use cases of, you know, how the efficiencies can play out in a really positive way. And, you know, one of the first examples that came to my mind was, you know, around legal teams. And, you know, right now you might only have, you know, two legal council members within an organization because, you know, they've gone through a high level of education. They're often very, very skilled. And it takes them, you know, a lot of time to, you know, go through documentation, non-disclosure agreements. You know, there could be a merger and acquisition that's occurring and that they're very much part of. And actually what ends up happening is that they become bottlenecks, and then a byproduct of that is that they become a disabler to that organization when it comes to growing. And it's not their fault, right? It's to do with the fact that they have to really, really spend a huge number of man hours going through those agreements and contracts to ensure they're right. But what if AI is able to, sit within their job role and is able to support them in, very quickly reviewing the NDA, but providing some suggestions, and then the legal counsel then reviewing those suggestions and then saying, right, okay, yeah, I agree with that, that makes sense, or no. In the same way a salesperson's working on, a sales deck, how much time do they spend at any given time, going through the production of a pitch deck or a sales deck? It's crazy the amount of, hours that we lose. And, businesses are paying, a salary to, or a per hour rate to these individuals. And the money that you'll save by opening this up and creating more productivity is just going to be insane. And I think, that's where this comes into play. And I think what happens next around upskilling is, is it just that we increase our workload? Is that what happens? Is it that AI can help us increase our workload and we have to do more? Or is this new part around upskilling around, well, actually, now that you can do this, this and this because of AI, wouldn't it be great if you could branch out into that? And that goes back to my previous point around, the CFO, the CMO being one and the same. What happens if, legal counsel are able to branch and support into other parts of the business that's very much still linked to the legal element of their role, but uses AI to as a function as well? So I think, in your instance with training, super interesting. Like, I think that is going to help a ton when it comes to deploying, work itself in terms of the materials. But training in its essence is still should be very much human led. And I think that's where, we can't just replace everything with AI. We need to augment it within the parameters that we work within now, because there's way more value in human interaction than there ever will be with AI. And I think everyone would agree with that.
When you think about, the next step of training, let's say you mentioned attorneys, for example, what would that process look like? Maybe some attorneys are not too well versed in technology or software.
Yeah.
You probably have a good chunk of attorneys that are not in that space. You might have the same thing with doctors. So what is the introductory process to get them to begin to adopt these skills where maybe initially they don't even have the tech skills needed to get to that level?
Yeah, I think what you'll see happen is, in the same way that their workflows are now, you receive an email, you're at a company, you're a legal counsel, and somebody sends you an NDA for approval. As soon as that hits your inbox, probably going to be Google, knowing Google, that's immediately then, that's AI's already read through it, right? And as a legal counsel, you're going to then get a notification that says, right, this has just come through, everything seems okay, but I'd probably check this, this, and this. And then there's like a suggestion. And then what happens if that's then able to be, connected to their calendar? And so that time's already been, apportioned for them to review it. So what that does is it allows for this really nice, seamless integration into the current working methods that exist now, as opposed to having to, try and re-educate people on this new thing. It should be very much part and present of people's job roles now, because it's that's all around behaviors, more importantly. And I think it's super important that AI isn't kind of like forced upon people, but it becomes very much a natural progression. And maybe in the future, as our children grow and go through education, AI will form very much part of that. But for now, where we're at within, the next, year to 5 years, I see it very much being integral into this pre-existing workflow. So it's not going to really, scare anybody within any specific department or job role or allow too much training. It needs to sit alongside us.
Right. You have even the not only the training of the job roles, but just in the example you gave, is who's going to figure out the integration and have the skills to be able to do that, to tie the whether it's Outlook or Google Mail or whatever mail system, in with the database that the legal team has all their contracts and keeps that, the notification system, the person who reviewed it and checked off that it was reviewed and that the AI did the job it was supposed to. And so not only do you have job roles that need to be trained for, but you have architects that need to be able to design it in with legacy systems that may or may not be AI ready, as well as then the whole workflow of how it can move from one place to another. So the thing that I believe will limit AI technology more than anything is its ability to work with legacy systems. It's fine to get ChatGPT and just use it and ask it a few questions and help you do marketing or legal or competitive analysis or market analysis, stock analysis, all sorts of things we've heard about. But tying it into a company so that it works with workflow is going to be a bigger challenge, not only from proper design and storing that, but also just what won't work with it and what has to be upgraded first before I can do next.
Yeah, I definitely see that. And I think, you know, is AI going to be like what we saw? And this isn't, you know, like for like, but it's akin to, you know, when social media first exploded, we had a ton of different social media platforms and then they become aggregated, right? There becomes one or two. There was more search engines, but now we all say, I'm going to Google that. You know, I think that what we will see is the likes of Salesforce, and they're already doing stuff like that, right? The likes of Salesforce integrate that kind of, you know, AI integration. Google are already doing it. They're showing us what they're doing, and it's super exciting. And I think it will get to a point where the big players within, you know, a business or a corporate or the corporate world will have those integrations in place. And then over a period of time, you know, people are going to have to be, you know, organizations have to be forced to move away from legacy. So it's kind of having to adapt very, very quickly to the change in times, because when people see the benefits and how advantageous using it is, companies that are not using it will, you know, effectively be isolated, which is a thing that I would hate to see happen. And it's a concern of mine that that will happen. So, you know, to your point, Buzz, how do you solve for that? And I think that is one of the bigger, wider challenge. But I think if we all come together collectively and there's this knowledge sharing and best practice, you know, there can be that bridge between the two to support those organizations that aren't ready for change.
Right. And some of that comes into thinking about that as part of the design of the technology itself. It's not just implementing artificial intelligence in whatever venue it might be implemented in, but understanding the full solution around it and how it integrates. How much AI can I use to help that integration process? And as you said, technologies evolve. You can look at any of them, whether it's the internet, social media, even going back to networking. All of those in the beginning were very difficult to configure, broke a lot of people didn't use them that much in the beginning or went to old ways. But slowly, as it became easier to implement, you go through the whole adoption cycle, from those on the leading edge to the early adopters to the mainstream to the late adopters. You'll have it in AI technology based on industries, et cetera. But the companies, I think, in AI that'll be successful are the ones who figure out how to solve for how does it work with what's already there versus I've got the greatest technology, start using it right now. There's only a few that can work in isolation like that.
I totally agree with you. And I think what's, you know, one of the really interesting things is, like, you know, when you see what Zapier have done with, you know, the automation of workflows, stuff like that is game changing. And is there going to be, you know, an evolution of that? And I think that's probably what we'll see, because, you know, they're already, they've got new AI beta features that they're rolling out. I think that's kind of where it will be, as opposed to, you know, having this one person that says they've got the best AI tech, because they just, that just won't last, because it's not fit for purpose.
Right.
So AI, probably a few months ago, when you said artificial intelligence, perhaps the only people that really understood what it meant were programmers, software developers, people that were in the coding space. Today, you think about AI, it's ChatGPT, enter a prompt, and it gives you an answer, and you think about what you can do. What are some of the trends that you're seeing that, you know, perhaps people are going to be adopting and looking at in the near future?
Well, I think in the same way that we see, you know, automation, and we spoke about this, you know, workflows within the work environment, I think the same thing will happen within, you know, people's personal lives. And I think more specifically, things like banking and how AI can really change the way that we manage our finances. And I think, you know, there's a number of different people that, you know, globally, don't have the financial education for many different reasons on knowing the best way to manage, you know, their finances, whether it's, you know, a single person or a family. And I think AI can be really, really powerful in terms of managing that. So, you know, you receive your paycheck, and then what happens, you know, is AI able to say, based on this, you're going to have to do this, this, and this, and then it moves money from one account to another, and it pays your bills, and it automates some of those tasks that we either forget or become stressful. And then, you know, you go shopping and it knows what you've ordered. And then, you know, after a period of time, it's already ordering stuff off the back of it. And we see some of this stuff now with smart fridges. You know, when somebody comes home, you know, what happens then? We already have automations now, but there's going to be so many more rich automations that occur based on AI. And especially around, you know, I think one of the big things is education. And, you know, what's that mean for when students sit exams in the future, or they submit work? Because effectively they could be just, you know, going using the latest ChatGPT at the time, no matter who it is, and copy pasting. And I think, you know, what will happen in that sort of setting is that within education, it won't necessarily be based on the input from a text perspective, i.e., you know, answering questions on a paper. It'll be more to do with how you're contributing and the discussions that you're having within a group environment that's able to articulate your knowledge. And I think, you know, the whole way that our children are educated will completely change. So, you know, I think there's a lot of focus right now on the workplace, but I think more importantly and more critically for the future is the education space and how AI will materially alter that. And I think it will alter it for the better, because there's a number of people, you know, well, I say number, millions globally, that are not very academic in the way that we suggest people should be academic right now. There are millions of students that actually can contribute in far, far superior ways than just, you know, answering questions on a test. So I think that's going to be another really interesting, you know, piece of the puzzle. How do we solve it? But I think the byproduct of all of that and the outcome will be incredibly positive, and will, you know, bring a whole new light to the future workforce as well.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, I think, you know, you just think about education, for example, it's pretty mind blowing. And to one extent, it does make it harder when you start changing the way tests are done and things are done in school, in the sense that students have to be more actively engaged. You know, perhaps the way that people are doing things right now, a lot of it is through Google. You know, they're pulling resources.
Totally.
They're just putting things together. And now you're forcing them to even think even more, because the option of ChatGPT is well known to everybody.
Yeah, and I also think it's, you know, there's probably a number of papers that have been submitted in the more recent months that are, you know, solely based off AI. And it just shows you that, I suppose, it's a bit of a hustle from the students, isn't it? And I quite respect it, but it's not a true reflection of their actual potential, and they're probably, you know, the reality of of their knowledge and their experience and their learning. And I think when you think about what that could look like in the future, you know, and really taking time to think about, you know, your education and how you contribute and demonstrate your learning, that's for me, that's really exciting. Because, you know, back at school, I hated the whole idea of, you know, revision, doing the exams. And it's, you know, when you think about it, it's actually quite antiquated. And perhaps actually AI is going to bring a whole different dimension to how we educate our children. And this is where, and this falls back again to this, you know, I've called it human AI augmentation, not in the sense as in it, you know, it's part of you as an actual physical being, but it complements what you do on a day-to-day basis. You know, it effectively becomes your companion and your reminder. And, you know, I could talk about this for hours, but I also think about, you know, neurodiversity and, you know, people with ADHD. You know, I've got ADHD. I'm awfully distracted sometimes because my mind is constantly, you know, racing and thinking about things. And, you know, how does that fit into the people that have neurodiversity, you know, symptoms or conditions? And I think it's, you know, that is going to solve so many problems that people face on a day-to-day basis. You know, you can even go down to the things like depression, right? What can it solve for that? Many different things. And it's incredibly exciting. But going back to what I said earlier, you know, everybody's going to have to come together to build a framework, because I think we only get one shot at this to do it right. Otherwise, it's going to spin off a lot of other things that I don't think are going to be that great for us. But, you know, I think in the main, the general sentiment is positive. And I think everybody's, you know, thought process and willingness is a good one. So let's see what happens, right?
Let's see what happens. Buzz, would love some thoughts on, some final thoughts on what Paul just had to mention about training and education and, you know, what the future is going to look like.
I think as we look at this and the whole idea of getting it right will take a lot of thought on both educators and companies, both those that are creating technology, how they educate people to use their technology, corporations, companies, large and small, that'll be hiring people, who they hire, what skills they have, and then how they need to implement and work within their environment, as well as the broader educational communities, which may be the most disrupted by AI technology. I just think, as you were alluding to there, Paul, when I can have an AI engine automate my whole curriculum plan and what I do need to take and don't need to take, and how to be able to get it to tune it to a career, to a company I want to work for, a whole bunch of different things that we can do here. It all does come back to, we still will have human beings involved in the process, implementing the process, that need some level of credential that shows that they've gone through that process. And probably even some of the ethics of implementation and using the security of using it. As we know, there's always bad guys out there in everything. There's people looking for an unfair advantage and just basically a criminal element that will want to take advantage of all of it. And so that leads back to, how do you have proof of skills that I know how to be able to do something, that I took the education and I didn't have a bot of some sort fill in the answers for me, that I actually know it and can implement it, that I know how to implement it, even a financial planning type of capability that you were talking about, but not skim the quarter pence off and over billions of transactions. Somehow I have a lot of money, or there's all sorts of things that go into this on top of just, how do I use it, how do I implement it, and how do I protect the broader spectrum, the individual, the group, the company, and society from the bad actors out there.
Definitely. And I think that's probably where things like, you know, the blockchain will come into play. And, you know, having those credentials that are linked to your identity as a person, right, that will carry with you. So, you know, as opposed to just going in and saying, yes, I can do this. Well, here it is. Like, I can show you on the blockchain. And that's something that's not just going to disappear, right? And it can be carried with you, and it's accessible on the ledger. So I think that's you know, a top level, probably how we could solve for that. But, you know, like we've already discussed today, there's a million other things that you'd have to drill down on. But I think that would be the best way to solve for that issue.
Yeah.
Paul, would love, if you had one takeaway message to everyone out there thinking and worried about AI, what would it be?
Don't be worried. And ensure that you can plan for the future. You know, really, really consider what AI can do for your organization, and do not get caught up with, you know, the people selling the silver bullet, because, you know, there isn't a one size fits all in this case at the moment. So I think, you know, being mindful of the future and start to educate yourself on AI is really important.
Any final thoughts, Buzz?
I would echo the same, is that you need to jump in probably more than a toe in the water. It is happening as much as the internet's happened, as cellular technology happened, as social media happened. Like it or not, it's happening. And the ability to understand your role in it, your company's role, however it might be, whatever perspective you come from, is important. And to not only just put your toe in the water, you need to learn how to swim. So find the training, find the certification that you're able to either do the correct stroke to keep the swimming analogy going, or that, you know, life-saving, you know, to some extent, you really need to be able to yourself, your company, understand how you're going to implement this well. Have a plan.
Thank you so much, Paul. We appreciate you taking out your time all the way from the UK.
A pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Certified Skills in AI and Tech podcast, brought to you by Criterion, where we provide platforms, software, and test development and delivery services for certification programs.